Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are recording. And our topic today is continue to study the name of Allah al-Wakil, depending on Allah. Again, a lot of you wrote very nice emails, like homework, about that how depending on Allah does not mean that you become lazy and expect Allah to do your work. No, depending on Allah is you do your work to the best you can, and then depend on Allah using your heart by praying for tawfiq. Depending on Allah to achieve tawfiq. Tawfiq is success. If you work hard, Allah takes away tawfiq from you, you will never succeed. If you work hard, do your best, and Allah grants you tawfiq, then you succeed. Now, there are points of discussion here about the unseen soldiers. Unseen soldiers are one of the miracles that happen. Allah supports people with unseen soldiers. I mean, you might say, well, how do you prove it? What is the proof that Allah supports good people with unseen soldiers? Huh?
Like when the Titanic sank, because they're all bragging about it, so he didn't support them.
Yes, but we're talking about the unseen soldiers in particular, huh?
In the Battle of the
Badr, Al-Ahzab.
Like angels?
Yeah. There are two places in the Quran where the unseen soldiers were mentioned. In Surah 33:9, which is Surah Al-Ahzab, the Battle of Al-Ahzab, just like you said. And then in Surah 9:40, which is Surah Al-Tawbah. Allah's talking explicitly says, I supported you with unseen soldiers. Now, how is that, you know, why do I need unseen soldiers? Because my resources are much less than the resources of the enemy, right? The enemy has many more soldiers, much more equipment, many more abilities. Like the enemy is so powerful, and I don't have as much as the enemy has. Then, if Allah does not make up for the difference, substitute the difference, would I ever prevail? Never. How could I prevail if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not help me out by substituting the difference of power between me and my enemy? So how does Allah substitute that? By the unseen soldiers. Unseen soldiers could be anything.
Wait, so Allah supports the unseen soldiers because they separate power?
No, Allah supports the good people with unseen soldiers because they are much weaker. The enemy, so Allah makes up the difference by supporting them with the unseen soldiers. So when do you get the unseen soldiers? You get the unseen soldiers if you do your work. And if you do it this way, your brains and muscles do the best you can, and your heart is begging Allah for tawfiq. You beg Allah for tawfiq. Then you get the help of the unseen soldiers, and you prevail over your enemy, which is has way much more resources than you have. Allah makes you prevail even though you don't have as much. You're a weaker person, but Allah makes you prevail. Now, when do Allah do that? If you are like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, let's take an example. During the Battle of Al-Ahzab, which is this ayah, 33:9, what happened? The believers were attacked in Medina by an army of 10,000 soldiers. It's a coalition from outside Medina. Arab lords leading their soldiers, they all came to invade Medina and to kill all Muslims and to wipe Islam from the face of the earth. Inside the Medina, we have only 3,000 soldiers, Muslim soldiers. And at the same time, inside the Medina, we have the Jewish tribes that are also fighting the Prophet from inside. So the Prophet had enemies coming from outside and enemies living inside, and they, Muslims, are trapped between both. Right?
Mm-hmm. Was this the battle of...
Al-Ahzab.
What?
Al-Ahzab.
Oh.
The coalition, the battle of coalition. Another name is Al-Khandaq, which is the battle of the trench. The trench, because they dug a trench. So what happened is that they didn't just kick back and relax and say, okay, we're going to prevail anyway because Allah is going to send his unseen soldiers. No, they did their work. They did a very hard work. What was that hard work? They dug a what?
Trench.
Now, you know the ground in the Medina is a rock ground. The soil is rock. So they had to dig this trench in rock. Did they have excavating equipment like bulldozers and things like that? No. They had to do it with their own axes, handily, manually. And the trench was so big. What happened is that Medina, if this is Medina, it has mountains here. These are mountains. So to stop somebody from coming to Medina, they needed to dig a trench here. Now, the mountains and the trench, nobody can come from the mountainside. It's very, very difficult to get up in the mountains and get down. That is no way anybody can do that. So they dug a trench to shield the rest of Medina. When they were digging the trench, Allah helped them dig the trench. How? They were weak and hungry. Allah gave them the powers and the strength to dig a trench that needs a lot of people, needs 10,000 people to work for so many days to dig. Allah.
In which battle?
The battle of the trench, Al-Khandaq. Another name, the battle of Al-Ahzab, the coalition. So it is the battle of the trench or the battle of coalition. Both names are the same.
Are the unseen soldiers actually unseen? Like they're invisible?
Yes.
And that way, like, you have more people on your team?
Yeah, tawfiq. Okay. Like, if your business succeeds because Allah sent you...
But that doesn't happen anymore, right? That's like a miracle.
No. Allah supports good people, especially the weak ones who cry for his support.
But, like, what if a camera catches it and it sees someone being knocked off their horse, like, randomly?
Cameras can't catch those. But let's get back into the actual... How did Allah support them? Number one, He gave them the idea of digging the trench. So, that is the first support. The second support, they made them so enthusiastic in working. They are not like lazy workers. They hate to work and they dig like a little bit every day and they go back and relax. No, they work day and night. And they were so enthusiastic about it, you know, that they were able to do it and complete the task. Three, Allah make them energetic, gave them energy for their bodies, even though there was no food and it was so cold. But Allah gave them the energy. So they were able to, with very little food, and they are starving, to do that. The Prophet ﷺ used to tie two rocks on his tummy. You know why? Because of hunger. I guess you girls don't know that. You have not experienced that.
Yeah, we did. Hungry? We fast.
No, what I meant is that hunger to the level that requires you to put a rock in your stomach. If your stomach has been empty for so long, the pain of being hungry is so, so bad that you need to, like, deceive or fool the stomach that there's no void there. So to do that, you need to push here, and to do that, you need a stone.
Wait, the Prophet wasn't rich enough to get food? Or?
Yes. Oh. The Prophet, he lived poor and died poor.
Oh.
and he refused to live a royal lifestyle. Remember that.
Was he offered that?
Hmm?
He was offered that?
Yes.
Though?
He had a significant income, and he would give it all away for the poor and needy. He wouldn't keep it for himself. And he would always live poor. He chose to live a... He refused to live a royal lifestyle. He used to have a mat on the floor where he sleeps. And every time he gets up, the pattern of the mat is printed on his body with red. So you can see the mat, the marks from the mat. The companions of Prophet Muhammad said, can we get you like some kind of a mattress or like a piece of cloth to sleep on? Like make it a little bit more comfortable? He said, no. He said, I am a prophet, I am not a king. I am a prophet, I am not a king. And the Muslim ummah will go down when it has kings and leaders that match the Roman Empire, the emperor of the Roman Empire and the emperor of the Persian Empire. Like basically, they told him, why don't we bring you a comfortable mattress? You look at the emperors of the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire, they have very comfortable beds. The prophet said, no, I am a prophet, I am not a king. And the destruction of the Muslim ummah will happen when the leaders of the Muslim ummah are like the emperors of the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. So basically, bottom line here is that they were so hungry and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them dig the trench. Now, is that it? No. There are many other unseen soldiers. What are these unseen soldiers? The wind, the angels, the angel of wind. What happened is that when the believers, when the non-believers attacked Medina, they were surprised about the trench. So they camped outside of Medina, trying to figure out a way to get in. Any one of them who tries to jump over the trench, he gets killed or shot by an arrow right away. So nobody was able to...
How was he shot?
Yeah, by somebody?
By an arrow.
Oh, okay.
They you shot know? Him?
Yeah, they just...
I thought the Prophet didn't kill anybody.
No,
the Prophet killed the bad guys.
Oh, okay.
Just think about it. Police. Police.
Yeah.
Think of it like a police. Police... Are the police represents the good guys, criminals represent the bad guys, and in order for us to be protected, bad guys has to be controlled by the police. Some of them, they fight back with guns, police kills them. Nobody can blame the police, right? So the Prophet ﷺ had an army, an evil army, trying to wipe off Islam from the face of the earth. So the Prophet fought, and there were people killed in these battles. So now, what happened after that, after a very long time? Allah wanted to send unseen soldiers to give victory to the Muslims. So what Allah did, Allah sent wind. Allah sent wind. Wind, you know, very strong wind, storm. In a very cold night, this wind blew away all the tents. And the camels and the horses went loose. And it was very cold. It was a very miserable night. And it was completely dark. Anytime you lit a fire, they lit a fire, the fire goes off. So they were completely blind.
That was celebrating their victory?
No.
Oh.
That was when they camped outside Medina to attack. So what they did is that they ran away. They got scared and they ran away. Who made them scared, get scared and run away?
Allah.
Allah made them scared. So these are the unseen soldiers.
What?
This is the unseen soldier.
The wind is the unseen soldier.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
And also the fear in their heart. That they became so afraid that they ran away from the battlefield. That is to be scared, to be so scared, Allah did throw terror or throw fear in your heart. So you become so scared and you run away. Now, in this ayah, which is in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah is talking about the story that we talked about before, when the Prophet was in the cave, and the people, the bad guys, were in the entrance of the cave. What happened is that they were looking inside and they could not see him. All right? That's an unseen soldier. Because usually, even if you're coming from a bright place into a dark place, you can still see something, like shadows or anything like that. But they did not see anything. So they did not see the Prophet or Abu Bakr. The bad guys, during the immigration of the Prophet, when the Prophet was hiding in the cave of Thawr, and the bad guys were able to track him to this cave, and they were looking inside, and they could not see him. And one of the reasons, possible reasons, is that when you come from a bright place into a dark place, you can't see very well. Allah made them unable to see at all. So this way...
Oh, that's the spider story.
No, there's no spider. There is no spider, there is no egg.
What?
This spider and egg story is not true.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Allah just took, blinded their eyes, and they didn't see. So they just walked away.
So the blindness was the unseen soldier?
The unseen soldier, yeah. The soldier, Allah sent a soldier that made them blind. So they couldn't see the Prophet. Now the question is, unseen soldiers are available to good guys and bad guys. True or false? False. Unseen soldiers are available to who? Good guys or bad guys? Good guys. And it makes up the difference between the good guys and the bad guys. It makes up the difference of the power between the good guys and the bad guys. Then let me ask you a question. What happens if two evil powers fight together? If bad guys fight with bad guys, who wins? No, one has to win the battle. Who wins? The one who's more clever and has more tanks and more aeroplanes. The one that is more clever and has more weapons, right? You got it? You understand? So if two evil powers are fighting, the laws of nature here will control. So who controls the result? The laws of nature. So the laws of nature makes you think, okay, two evil powers are fighting, so the one that prevails is the one that's more clever and has more weapons, right? Now, but if an evil force is fighting with a good force, the one that prevails is the good force, the good people, or the good power, even though they don't have as much weapons, and maybe not as much clever as the enemy. Why? Because what controls the result is not the laws of nature. You see what I'm saying? The laws of nature are not the one who control the results. All right? Now, let me give you an example of this that made people really wowed about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet Muhammad started his mission with as a one man against Arab lords that hated Islam and hated him. And again, and the Arabs were, like, they call dirty bags, or like very dirty people, very ignorant people. How? They used to kill their baby daughters alive. You know that?
What? I thought those were baby boys.
No, baby daughters. They will bury their baby daughters alive. And because they think they are useless, because they can't fight, they only want to retain soldiers, and also it's a dishonor if they are defeated, they are taken as slaves, so they didn't want their women to be taken as slaves.
Weren't they called like Quraysh or Kafir?
Wa'd al-Banat, that's what they used to do. Not only that, but they used to worship images and think that they are middle gods, like stones and statues, and treat them the way Allah is to be treated. That's another stupid thing that they did. A third stupid thing, that they did a lot of injustice to each other. They fight over silly, ridiculous reasons, and they kill each other. Like there was a camel race between the two tribes, Dahis and Al-Ghabra. And then the one camel won the race, so the other tribe protested the result. They say there was cheating there. So the first tribe said, no, we didn't cheat. They went into an argument, and it became a war. And this war lasted 40 years. 40 years between the two tribes. It almost finished both tribes. They killed each other to die. You know, they almost finished each other. This is what the prophet had to start with. So the prophet had to start with what?
Wait, they buried their women alive. They had weirdly weird fights. And what was the last thing?
They worshipped images and treated them the way Allah is to be treated. Then what happened? After that, this is how the Prophet started. How did the Prophet end? In 23 years, Prophet built a righteous superpower. What? A righteous superpower. A righteous what? Superpower. That defeated the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. You kidding me? In 23 years, the Prophet built a righteous superpower that defeated the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire? Yes. Historians can't believe that. Historians, they are so amazed. And they say, this is not explainable using the laws of nature. The laws of nature says Muhammad is a one man. And the bad guy, surrounded by bad guys, awful guys. And, you know, he's way outnumbered. They have more weapons, they have more brains and muscles and everything. How could he, in 23 years, be able to build from those guys, those bad guys, build a righteous superpower that spread justice into the whole world? You know what I'm saying? This is why people came to Islam, because they were wowed with the justice that Muslims were able to establish. It was very amazing and impressive. Okay? So, this is what the Prophet Muhammad was able to achieve. Historians are saying, no way. No way. Historians are so amazed. Even though it is true, it happened, truly, truly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam truly was able to do that. And the historians know that for sure. You know how they know that for sure? Okay, many people, many historians who write history at the time of the Prophet wrote about what happened in different languages from different areas, and they don't know each other. You got it? Like if you are a Chinese historian and another guy is a British historian, both of you wrote about Prophet Muhammad and you wrote the same thing. Wouldn't that confirm that this is actually the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not only one historian. Many historians wrote about the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the events, and all of them confirmed the same thing. They don't know each other. So they can't lie. Why? Actually, if they lie, then one of them will be different. But it came out to be the same. So it means that they were all describing the truth. You know how do we discover cheaters? They make the same exact mistakes, right? Like if you are sitting by your friend and you cheat from your friend and your friend is wrong, then you're going to copy the what? Wrong answer. So by comparing the wrong answers, I say, yeah, those are the cheaters, right?
Wait, but what if they only had two and like one was different?
I mean, just take the point that I'm trying to make. Now, if both of them got the answer right, can I say they are cheating?
No.
Why? Because this is the right answer. Okay. But if both of them got the same wrong answer, can I say they are cheating? Yes. So same thing. The historians wrote, they all came up with the right answer. So they described the right history. So, you know, it's impossible for them to lie because they don't know each other. So the historians of today are so impressed and saying the laws of nature fail to explain such a success, amazing, impressive success. You start with trash people, trashy people. You can describe the Arabs as trash at that time. And then you turn them around in 23 years having a righteous superpower that defeated the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire. Are you kidding me? The laws of nature fails to explain. Then some of them try to find reasons from the laws of nature. So they said, one of them said, Muhammad was genius. He was gifted in so many areas. He was so gifted and talented. He was so gifted and talented as a family man. He was gifted and talented as a thinker. He was gifted and talented as a person who does theology, theologian, like theology.
Wait, so they were so surprised that the Arabs could change in just 20 years?
That the Prophet was able to do that, to achieve that.
To change them?
Yeah, and then they said he's a genius social leader, he's a genius military leader, he has a charismatic personality. They kept making up all these reasons to explain. But many other historians said, phony, bingo, or like what bingo means, like... this is not true. This can't be. Because even if he combines all these, that can't be the reason. Because even if you combine all these talents together in one person, this person wouldn't be able to achieve what the Prophet achieved. Look how many millions, billion, 1.5 billion Muslims today because of the work of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you believe such a success? They prevailed over the whole world, almost the whole world, and Islam spread everywhere. You got it? So, this can't be explained by the laws of nature. And one of them said, I swear by Allah. I swear by God. If I am not sure from the books of history, the historical evidence, because of the historical evidence, if I am not sure because of the historical evidence that this happened, I would never believe it. I would say it's a myth. I would say it's a myth. Can't. He's not able to understand how. 23 years you transform the whole world like that. Starting from nothing. Starting from scratch. Even below scratch. You got it? You got the concept here? Now the question is, if I ask you, is it because the Prophet was talented in so many areas and all these talents were combined in one person and he was so charismatic, he had a charismatic personality? Was that the reason? No. I agree with the historians that say no. These reasons are not enough to explain how could he achieve such a success. Guess what was the reason? The unseen soldiers. Laws of nature will fail to explain that. But when you put the unseen soldiers, you understand. Unseen soldiers are available only to the good guys. So if you are on the side of Allah, defending righteousness, defending justice, defending all of that, if you are on the side of Allah, what happens? Unseen soldiers will help you. If you are not on the side of the Allah, then the laws of nature will prevail. So if you have more clever, have more soldiers, more weapons, you win. You got it? All right. Now, what happened when the Muslims put their trust and faith in the resources they have? There is a battle.
Soldiers.
No. They are no longer... They became so many. The army of Muslims became over 10,000 in the Battle of Hunayn. I think it was.
The Battle of what?
Hunayn. I think it was the Battle of Hunayn. Hunayn, H-U-N-A-I-N. The Battle of Hunayn, Allah spoke about it in the Quran, that the Muslims had so much power and they were so many. The soldiers were so many, and they had so much power, and they had so many weapons. They were very powerful. The Muslim army was very powerful. So the companions, or the Muslim soldiers, relaxed. Did what? Relaxed. And they felt comfortable that, hey, we're going to prevail because we have a good number of soldiers and we have a lot of weapons. Guess what happened? Guess what Allah did to them?
Wait, what does prevail mean?
Prevail means win the battle. Guess what Allah did? Just imagine.
He sent them a punishment.
Allah made them get defeated in round one. They won round two, but they got defeated in round one. Why? Allah spoke in the Quran and He explained to them why did He make them lose round number one.
This was all before the Quran was out?
Huh?
This was all before the Quran was out?
No, the Quran was revealed gradually, so with the events. So after they lost round one and they won round two, Allah revealed the verse explaining to them why did they lose round one.
Was this the battle for where they want Palestine or Jerusalem?
No. No, that was the battle against the tribe of Thaqif. And it was called the Battle of Hunain. And this was the before the Prophet ﷺ dies. After the Mecca, after the conquest of Mecca, and before the death of the Prophet.
Okay.
I think
so
it was the ninth year.
Why did they lose the first battle? Because they trusted in resources?
Okay. Now, all other battles, Muslims won. Why? Because they had trust and faith in Allah. They used to beg of Allah. Ya Allah, we are so few, help us. Ya Allah, we don't have enough weapons, help us. Ya Allah, they were so scared, depending on Allah to make up the difference of power, right? In the Battle of Hunain, they were so relaxed. They were not tense, like all these battles. And they didn't call on Allah. They put their trust in their number and their weapons. They say, well, we have a large number of soldiers, we have a lot of weapons, we are winning. And they didn't pray as much to Allah. They didn't make enough begging of Allah or pray.
But Prophet Muhammad did, right?
Yes, but the companions, not many, you know, the majority of the companions trusted their numbers and weapons, so they didn't bother begging of Allah. So Allah made them get beaten up in round number one. They were defeated. And they were running like crazy. Running, escaping from the battlefield like crazy. And then the Prophet ﷺ called on them by name, one by one, until he got the cream of the companions, like the very strong ones, who were always with him since day one, surrounding him, and then started to defeat the enemy. So the rest of the people that were running away, they came back and they fought the battle and they won. So round number one, the bad guys won. Round number two, the Prophet won.
They started praying again, right? They started praying and stuff, and then they round
one. No, they didn't, because they didn't have a chance. But what happened is that Allah taught them the lesson. The lesson now is learned. Now, Allah taught them that, hey, when you guys trust your number and weapons, okay, I leave you alone. I leave you alone to the laws of nature. I leave you to the laws of nature. And the laws of nature will control. And, you know, the laws of nature happen to be to the side of the bad guys, so they prevailed. Then, in round number two, Allah supported the Muslims with His unseen soldiers. So, after their hearts were so scared and, you know, they were running away fearful. Their hearts were fearful and they were running away from the battlefield. Allah made their hearts back strong. So that's an unseen soldier. So they went back and gathered and organized themselves and they were able to win the battle. And then Allah said in the Quran and in the Battle of Hunain where you trusted...
The part that made their hearts strong was unseen soldier, or like the wind was unseen?
The unseen soldier. We're talking about the Battle of Hunain,
not the Battle of
Hunain.
But which part was the unseen soldier?
The unseen soldiers that interfered is that Allah made the hearts of the Muslim soldiers who were running away
okay,
feel strong. Allah removed the fear. Allah removed they are no longer afraid. So they went back to the battlefield and they fought until they won the battle. So Allah said in the Quran that, and in the Battle of Hunain, where you put all your trust in your numbers and weapons, and I got you defeated, to learn the lesson that you are not winning because of your weapons and because of your numbers. You're winning because of the unseen
soldiers.
Now, you do something wrong. You depend on the unseen. You don't beg of Allah to send the unseen soldiers. You don't qualify for the unseen soldiers. You get beaten up. You get defeated. Okay? So that was the message. So that's why when two evil powers fight, the laws of nature will control the results. There are no unseen soldiers in the fight. Absolutely no unseen soldiers. Whatever more powerful wins the battle. Okay. Now, Allah will help with unseen soldier people who, anybody, any believer, or believers who became desperate. There is one condition to get the help of Allah after, if you're a good guy. You don't get the help of Allah or the unseen soldiers just because you're a good guy or a good people or a good army. You have to do one more thing before you qualify. What is it? Other than depend on Allah, your hearts are trusting Allah, not trusting the numbers. You have to do the maximum you can do. You have to exhaust all means. You got it? So if you have 10 tanks and you only got 9 in the battle and you left 1 unused, did you exhaust all your means? No. You still have 1 that you didn't use. Why? Because you were too lazy to fix it. Would you get the unseen soldiers? No. Why? Because Allah says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. He's the one who helps the desperate. You have to be desperate. Desperate means what? Means you have used everything that you have. Everything. Okay? So, you didn't say, okay, this tank is old and needs to be fixed and I'm too lazy. You don't say, oh, I'm too lazy to dig the trench. You know, that's a lot of work. Anytime you don't exhaust your resources, you don't qualify for the unseen soldiers. You know what I'm saying?
So if you have like a tank and you don't feel like fixing it, then you don't...
If you have resources that you didn't use because you're lazy or because you're laziness, you're not going to get the unseen soldiers even if you're a good army, even if you're good people, you will not get the unseen soldiers until you exhaust all your resources and you become what? What's the key word? Desperate. So we will circle this word. It's called what? Being what? Being desperate. That is, you have to be desperate. If you're not desperate, then... What is it?
No, he told
us to fix his
spelling.
Desperate. That's right. Oh, just kidding.
B-E? Uh-huh. B-E? Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's always keep an eye on the spelling thing. Because English, as you know, is my second language. So being desperate.
Wait, what's your first?
Just keep that in mind. Being desperate means you did everything that you can do, and there's nothing else that you can do. Then you expect the unseen soldiers. If you have trust in Allah, then you expect the unseen soldiers. But if you have a lot of weapons and a big army, and you trust the weapons and the army, you don't get the unseen soldiers. You need to still put your trust in Allah. Right? Let me give you an easier example to understand. Allah might send an unseen soldier, unseen doctor, to heal you from a disease. I'm saying unseen doctors, you know, basically Allah will heal you from the disease, right? Like Allah will help the doctor to diagnose your disease the right way, and prescribe the right medication. And then you get out of your disease. You become healthy again. Okay. Now, that is unseen soldier. This tawfiq is unseen soldier. So tawfiq is what? Unseen soldiers. Who did tawfiq to the doctor to prescribe the right medication and to do the right diagnosis?
Allah.
Why? Because you exhausted your means. You went to the doctor, that's the best doctor that you can buy with your money. You got the best doctor that you can buy with your money. And you, this is all what you can do. This is all what you can do. There's nothing else you can do. Then Allah would send you the unseen soldier, which is tawfiq. And then you recover. But if you don't go to the doctor at all.
No, but so
you can go to the doctor, but you didn't. Do you expect unseen soldiers? Absolutely not.
But if you have cancer and you still believe, sometimes you might die.
Still, go to the doctor. Do you the maximum you can do. When you become desperate and you beg of Allah, Allah will send you the unseen soldiers. But being lazy or being reckless or being stupid, you know, and you don't do your work, then, yeah, she's probably going to email me that as a homework.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
But you're allowed to do that?
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
Oh, my God.
She's like, you know what she's doing? She's just taking notes. You can take notes. And that's what she's doing. She's taking notes.
As long as you're actually taking notes.
Yeah. And then, and instead of writing them on paper, she writes them on the iPad. All right, any questions? Do you fully understand these concepts? These are deep concepts. So you really need to know the concept of desperate, the concept of unseen soldiers, the concept of the laws of nature, and the concept of how the Prophet was able to make a success that the historians commented that it's impossible to achieve such a success using the laws of nature. He was one man against many Arab lords with oppressed supporters, starting with bad guys, and he was able to make that huge success in 23 years, building a righteous superpower. That's unbelievable, unexplainable using the laws of nature. All right? Okay. Any questions? All right. One of you, I sent an email to do with a tafsir book to study. I forgot the name. What's your name?
Samiha.
Where's this name? Is it you that I sent today?
I don't think so.
Did you... The one that sends me an email through her father.
No, that's not me.
Her father.
Somebody not here.
Yeah, might be someone not here. There's Aisha, and then there's that girl with
Aisha
that.
Aisha and Haya.
Yeah, Haya.
Aisha
okay.
And Haya.
Yeah.
It might be Haya.
Well, I will figure it out later. Salaam alaikum. Thank you for listening. Remember, the homework is 300 words to now. The homework... The whole...